Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas. The book of Corinthians was a set of letters written from Paul to the church of Corinthians. And chapter 13 is dealing with love, and he explains to them about love. Specifically, the verses today explain about the permanence of love. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away all of the childish things behind me. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw. How are you today?
Good morning.
Isn't it a glorious day, Christ's birth, that we celebrate? As you see, the service is a little bit different. We won't have a sermon, but we're telling two stories. The first story is the story of Jesus Christ's birth, and it was wonderfully done by the choir and Mickey, artists. And thank you, Arlie, and Cliff, who prepared these slides for us. And now I'm going to tell you another story. It's a Christmas story, and it's a personal story. I wrote it first for just enjoyment and remembrance, but later I found there was something more to it. The Masonic youth organization, Demolay, has a ritual called the Flower Talk, in which it uses flowers to represent the love of a mother. The red flower represents the love of a mother that is with us, and the white flower represents the love of a mother who has passed away. In the ritual, we were told that the white flower, the love of a mother who has passed away, has the power to transcend the barrier of death. When I first heard this as a child, I was skeptical. But now that I've reached adulthood and manhood, I've reconsidered. On April 24th, 2001, Linda, my wife, died. When the reality of her death finally reached my consciousness, I became enraged. I asked God, why? Why? God, there were so many things that Linda still wished to do. She wished to see her daughter graduate from college and perhaps go on to medical school and graduate. She wished to plan Mindy's wedding. She wished to hold her grandchild. And there was one more wish that Linda had, and that was to create a memory quilt for Mindy out of her old t-shirts. A year later in the summer, Shawnee and I were cleaning out the basement when Shawnee came across two huge boxes filled with t-shirts. She asked me about them, and I said, that is Linda's wish, to have these shirts made into a quilt for Mindy. And as we talked, I wondered what I would do with all the t-shirts. The next day, Shawnee called me. "Hey, Bill, I just talked to my cousin Nancy. She's a talented quilter, and she would love to make Mindy's memory quilts. She might thinks that she might even get it done by Christmas. So what do you think?" Well, it was easy for me to think about that. The next Saturday, Shawnee and I, and the two boxes of t-shirts, headed up to Nancy's house. As we unloaded the t-shirts and sorted them in the piles on Nancy's living room floor, I explained some of the significance of them. "These t-shirts over here, these were the t-shirts from when she participated in Act One, a theater group. And over here were the t-shirts from every single play that she was in Shaler High School. And here are the t-shirts that she got from while she was in the choir. And then over here are the t-shirts that she got when she participated in sports, both bowling and soccer. And these t-shirts, well, they commemorated our trips that we took as a family." As Nancy surveyed all the t-shirts in her room, she said, "It's going to take me a little while to come up with a pattern to fit all these t-shirts in. I'll call you in a couple of days." Well, it was 2 weeks later, I finally received a call from Nancy. She said, "I finally have got a pattern for two quilts. You see, Bill, there were just too many t-shirts for just one. And oh, by the way, there's something else I want you to do. I want you to give me a family picture and some words to put on a quilt to commemorate them." Now, finding just the right picture out of all the thousands of pictures in our house to put on a quilt seemed nearly impossible. Finding the right words was even more difficult. But then one day while I was sitting in church during silent prayer, a kind of peace came over me. And the words filled my head from out of nowhere. And I hurriedly jotted them down on the bulletin. Thursday, 5 days before Christmas, I received a call from Nancy. "Bill, I'm almost done with the quilts. I just have to add a few more things. You can pick them up on Saturday." Saturday night, after I had hid them in the basement, I went upstairs and I found Mindy sitting on the couch, looking sad and morose. She said, "I don't feel very Christmassy. I miss my mom." "I do too," I said. And we sat down and we talked about all those countless things that Linda had done to make our Christmases special. That next morning in church, Reverend Pratt gave a sermon on how to celebrate Christmas, how the best way to celebrate Christmas. He said it wasn't about presents and gifts and all those things, it's about love. It's all about love. It's about God's love, that he so loved us that he sent his son Jesus Christ to earth to be a guiding light, to be the true star of Bethlehem, to guide us to a relationship with him. As he talked and gave examples, Mindy and I kept nudging each other, for it sounded as if he had been in our living room the night before listening to our conversation. When we got home, Mindy and I were quite emotional. And then Mindy said, "You know, Dad, I know that Mom is always with me, but I just wish I could feel her presence around me." Well, that was enough for me. I sent Mindy into the basement. I went into the basement. I sent Mindy into the living room to sit on the couch with her grandmother. And as I pulled out the first quilt and read, and Mindy read these words, "Cuddle up in the quilt of memories and remember the comfort of our love, Mom and Dad. This worked better in rehearsal. All Mindy could say was, wow. And as she unwrapped them and looked at them and carefully studied it, all she could say was, wow. And all that Sunday and all that Christmas Eve and all that Christmas Day, Mindy sat wrapped in both of her quilts, feeling the comfort of her mother's love. And I stood back and watched and imagined that how someday, Eric, I would see our grandchild, perhaps, also comforted by his grandmother's quilt. Now in 2002, 2 days after this event, I wrote this story, and this was the end. And I ended it with, and Linda's wish was fulfilled. But as I was preparing for today, I realized that Linda's wish wasn't fulfilled. For Mindy did graduate from college and went on to medical school in Philadelphia. And when she was there, and the wounds of the earth and this world wounded her and hurt her by either being lonely or being overwhelmed by all those things that she was trying to learn, she had her mother's love. She had her arms around her in those quilts. And then when Mindy and I and Shawnee and Eric were planning for their wedding, and some of the things didn't go quite the way Mindy had planned, she again had her quilt and her mother's love to comfort her. And 9 years later, after our grandchild was born, and on Christmas Day again, I see my grandson, I see Linda's grandson, also comforted by those quilts. Now, some of you might say, this is just a lovely story, and I'm glad of it. But I started thinking about it, and I offer this for your consideration. If a mother's love is so strong, if a mother's love for a child is so strong that it can transcend that barrier of death and give comfort to her child, isn't it reasonable to expect that God's love that was so strong that he sent his only son down to earth to be a guiding light to us, to find a close relationship with him? A God's love who knew the pain and suffering that his son would have to go through in order to cleanse us so that we can be righteous with God? Don't you think that kind of love can also transcend that barrier? And then when we are faced with those hurts and those discomforts of this earth, whether it's through a debilitating illness, or perhaps a relationship that's gone foul because of infidelity, or perhaps through the death of a loved one, don't you think that that love and that God could send his love in the form of his quilt of love to comfort us and keep us close to him? Please join me in prayer. Dear God, we praise you, we love you, we give you the glory. For your love was stronger and than ours. That your love was before we were even born, and it transcends that barrier between this world and that, and gives us comfort when the world gives us pain. Thank you so much for sending your son Jesus on this day that we commemorate, that he came to give us a guiding light to you. Amen.